But open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, and I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture that's very familiar. I'm sure that you've read it many, many times and heard it preached from many, many times. But I want to read it to you again. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Almost pronounced that in Portuguese. Now, my message tonight, my subject is signs of the Savior. Signs of the Savior. And the first sign we come to deal with tonight is the one we have here before us, the sign of His birth. Now, He was promised from the very beginning when Adam fell and God brought Adam and Eve and the serpent into judgment because of the sin. Right there, God promised that one day the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that's the first prophecy and promise of a Savior, Messiah. And we find it then all the way through the Old Testament. But here we find a sign that God gives to us concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. How He was to be born. And not only so, but the Bible tells us in the book of Micah and chapter 5 and verse 12 where He would be born. And the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 when He would be born. So that the Bible leaves us with no doubt as to how Jesus would be born, where He would be born, and when He would be born. All of those prophecies we know about, we've studied, and we know that they have reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice now what He said. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Now, this is the sign God gave. And here's a sign. Behold, a virgin. He didn't say the virgin. A virgin. You see, she wasn't the only one in the world at that time. They're not quite as rare. They weren't quite as rare then as they are today. Just, pardon being plain, but that's the way it is. It's pitiful. It's terrible that it's that way. But that's the way it is. But there were many virgins in Israel in that day. But one of them conceived of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when Mary said that she could not understand how it would be that she would bring a son when she never knew a man, I believe she meant exactly what she said. I don't believe a man had ever handled her. And I believe knowing a man has a lot more implied. There's a lot more implied than just having a sexual intercourse. I don't believe she ever knew a man. There's a young girl down in our town in Brazil that got in trouble. And she's with child. And she vowed she's still a virgin. And I had more than one doctor tell me, now that's possible. But it isn't either. It isn't. You see, because she's with child. And some man is the father of that child. Now exactly how it came about, I can't explain. But there's one thing for sure, she's not a virgin anymore. And can't be. It's impossible for a woman with child to be a virgin. It's an impossibility. And yet here we have the impossible. For this virgin conceived of the Holy Spirit and brought forth a child who had no earthly father. And that's the difference. You see, if that girl ever tells the truth someday, she'll have to tell who the father of that child is. And it'll be an earthly father. It'll be somebody down in Brazil. Some man down in Brazil. So, there's a difference. You see, when this child was born, there was no human being upon this earth who could be pointed out and be said, He's the father of it. For He conceived of the Holy Spirit. And notice, friends, I want you to notice. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call her name Holy Mary. No, you don't find that. Now, notice the sign, the emphasis of the sign is on the son and not the mother. And the Bible said, Blessed art thou among women, not above women. That's the heir of the Holy or the Roman Catholic Church and the Holy Mary business. Is that they want to make her blessed above women. And so they fabricate all of these lies about her being born without sin and all of that, which is heresy in the worst form. And they miss the whole thing because the emphasis on the sign is the Son. The Virgin Mary, who was a young virgin in Israel, was used only as the beginning of the sign to show that God was the father of this child. But then the emphasis from then on is on the Son. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the sign. And a virgin did conceive. And nowhere in the Scriptures are we commanded to call her Our Lady or the Virgin of Guadalupe or Nossa Senhora, like they call her in Brazil, or by any other name. No. It's the Son that we're to honor. It's the Son that we're to glorify. It's the Son that we're to trust. It's the Son that saves us. It's the Son who leads us. It's the Son who will bless us forever and not the mother. And so this is a sign of His birth. A virgin shall conceive. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we find the fulfillment of this very prophecy in chapter 1 in the Gospel of Matthew. And notice how clearly it's stated. In verse 21, or let's begin with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And if God hadn't revealed that to him, he'd have put the woman away. Because from all natural reasoning and understanding, she had been unfaithful to him in the engagement before the marriage. And he would have put her away. He wouldn't make a public example out of her. He was a just man. He had a good heart about him. About that, he was just going to send her away privately, as it were, in secret. But he wasn't going to live with her. But God revealed to him that no man had ever known this woman. No man had ever handled her in any way. She was a pure virgin. As pure as any virgin that ever walked on this earth, as far as her virginity was concerned. She was a sinner woman. She wasn't born without sin. She herself confesses that because she talks about God being her Savior. And Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners, and she herself was a sinner and confessed it and trusted in Jesus as her Savior. But she was a virgin. And she conceived of the Holy Spirit, as He tells us in the Gospel of Luke. And so He said, For that which is born of her is conceived, or that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now that He has reference to the same prophecy, listen. He said, Now, all this was done that was spoken of the Lord, or that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so Jesus and Emmanuel of Isaiah is one and the same. And so that prophecy was fulfilled. That sign was fulfilled. The sign of his birth. And many rejoiced at the birth of Jesus. And folks have been rejoicing ever since. Not only at his birth, but at his death and his resurrection also. But many have been made to rejoice because of the fulfillment of this prophecy. He's our only hope, the Son of God. The Savior of sinners. He's our only hope. But then, too, there's another sign. I want you to look with me in the Gospel of John and chapter 1. And here we have the sign of his manifestation. Now, the Bible tells us that he was born, and when he was born, the holy angel sang in heaven, and it was announced to the shepherds in the field, and they went to see the babe, and wise men came and brought their gifts to him. But then, because of persecution, he had to go down into Egypt. And when he came back, they settled in Galilee, and nothing else was said of him until he was 12 years old. And that's when he remained in the temple disputing with the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees. And then he went home, was subject to his parents, and nothing else was said about him until one day he comes out of Galilee walking a dusty road some 60 miles to the River Jordan to be baptized at the hands of John the Baptist. And here's what John says about it in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when he made reference to the Lamb of God, he had reference to all of the Old Testament types, from the sacrifice of righteous Abel, all of the Old Testament types right down to that very day when they were still offering animal sacrifices on the altar at the temple. He said, this is God's Lamb. It's not Moses' lamb. It's not the lamb of the people. It's God's lamb. This is the true sacrifice. This is the reality. This is the fulfillment of all the shadows of the Old Testament. And he said, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with or in water? And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now there's a sign. There's a sign. Listen. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize, and who sent John to baptize? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God sent him. And here's what he said. But he that sent me to baptize with water, or in water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. He's the one. And he said, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. How do you know, John? Because God gave me a sign. The one who sent me gave me a sign. And I saw the sign. For in Matthew chapter 3, when John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ and came up out of the water, the Bible said the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended and abode upon him, and a voice spake out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here's a sign of his public manifestation. And there's a good example, friend, that the only way a man can really begin a public ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ is in the waters of scriptural baptism. Without it, it's impossible to live the kind of life for the Lord that would be pleasing to Him. That's why scriptural baptism is a necessity to Christian living and the Christian testimony. That's how Jesus began His public ministry. That's how He was manifested publicly and openly when He was baptized at the hands of John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And so we have the record here. We have the record of His manifestation. We have the saying of it. And John said, I saw it by record. I'll give testimony to that. It's true. I saw it with my own eyes. God told me what to look for, and I saw it. And this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I can say it emphatically with all assurance, with all authority, because God showed Him to me by sign. And the sign was the Holy Spirit descending upon Him and abiding upon Him. And then there's another sign. And this is a sign. This is a sign of His second coming. I want you to turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24. The sign of His second coming. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus is talking to His disciples. Verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world or of this age? They asked for a sign. What shall be the sign of Thy coming? Now, Jesus gave more than one. They only asked for one, but He gave many signs as to the nearness of His coming, that we might know when we approach the last days. Now, no man knows the day or the hour. I think one of the most foolish things that has ever been done is for a man to say that Jesus is coming at a certain day and a certain hour. More than one man has tried that and has been left embarrassed and ashamed and without a word to say because he couldn't name the day nor the hour. But we can know the time. What shall be the sign of Thy coming? And He goes on to give Him many signs. He tells about, and one of the first signs He gives, you know what it is? False Christ and false teachers. They'll be greatly multiplied in the last days. They always have been. Simon Peter said, as they were over in the Old Testament, so they are in the New Testament. They've always been. But Jesus seems to indicate here that at the time of His coming, they will be greatly multiplied. And they'll cover the earth, as it were. And they'll deceive the very elect, if it were possible. It's not possible, but if it were possible, they would. And then He tells about the wars, and rumors of wars, and famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in many places. And then He goes on to tell about many other signs. And He talks about, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we see the world completely corrupted with sin. And it seems that all flesh has corrupted itself and turned from the Lord. And we're living in a day when there's a great manifestation of sodomy, perversion of every kind. And Jesus said that's the way it'll be when He comes again. And then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that as it was at His first coming, so shall it also be at His second coming. Many things are the opposite, but some things are similar. He came the first time to bear the sins of many. He'll come the second time without sin and the salvation. But He went away in a cloud, and He's coming back in a cloud. His feet left the Mount of Olives almost 2,000 years ago, and any day now, they're going to touch down on it again, and it's going to split wide open. It sure is. It's going to happen, friends. The second coming of Christ is real. It's a reality. And when He comes, He's going to call Himself His own. And not only His church, but all the redeemed that are upon the earth at that time will be raptured out. And the dead in Christ shall be brought forth from the grave. And we'll all go out to meet the Lord. And then there'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. Such tribulation as this world has never known. And when it seems that all is complete ruin, and when it seems that the man of sin is about to completely destroy the Jewish people, he has them surrounded, the city surrounded, and it seems like they've brought them to the place where they've never had them before, where they can crush them and exterminate them and rid the earth of the Jews. Suddenly, with power and great glory, the Son of God shall descend in all of His glory, and every eye shall see Him then. When He comes to earth, every eye will see Him. The great men and the mighty men, the captains, the bondmen, the free men, and all those who blasphemed His name, all those who lifted themselves up in pride, all those who boasted of their strength and their power and their goodness and their pride, they'll flee and they'll hide themselves in the caves of the mountains, and they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?